Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Good morning. Oh, the front row is boisterous this morning. All good. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife, Randy, is sitting in the front row. And if you're new here, if you're a guest here, we have the privilege of serving in this community, and we love this church. We had a fantastic year in 2022, and we're going to have a more betterer year in 2023. Love to have the good grammar. It was funny, a couple of folks were talking about New Year's resolutions. It may have been Dana, I don't remember, maybe Guy. But it's funny, I am not a New Year's resolution person. I'm just not. I'm not opposed to them. And I always kind of laugh at some Christians who are like, New Year's resolutions are not in the Bible. Well, neither is the car that brought you here. Or an airplane flying over your head. It's not in the Bible either. Does it make them untrue or wrong or whatever? But I believe with all of my heart, I'm going to edit what I was going to share because some of it, like John, has already been said this morning. But I do want to highlight some things. And I just believe for this church family, and if you're visiting from somewhere else, you can take it with you. It's free of charge. But I believe for this church family that this year, starting today, is going to be just a year of abundance. Yeah. Amen. A year of abundance. And I also just feel impressed with the Lord that this year is, for this family, is a year focusing on family. And that doesn't mean, you know, the 9-year-olds or just the 17-year-olds or just the 38-year-olds, but it's family, it's generational. Yeah. And it's God's heart. There's a family in heaven that came and exported kingdom family into the earth, that we would learn how to love one another and value what he values and love what he loves. And I just want to touch on this morning the power of making a decision. Just real quick, going to condense the power of making a decision. And sometimes we have chaos in our lives because we haven't made a decision about certain things. Right. We've just allowed things to happen, or almost happenstance. And it's almost like rolling a ball down the street and see what it hits. Bounces off this, bounces off that. When I was a kid, it always inevitably ended up going down the sewer. Wasn't good rolling the ball down the street. But as believers, I believe we are called to make certain decisions and be steadfast and resolute about them and don't deviate from them. And many times we get into difficulties when we don't follow through with our decisions or we lose track of what we're certain about and what we're convinced of. The power of making decisions. Randy, my wife, was with a friend of hers over the last, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, and the friend is named Monica. Many of us know her. And Monica just made this statement. It's just the power of making a decision. So often it's the difference between success and failure. And obviously we want to make good decisions, great decisions, not just poor decisions. Yesterday, I was with a couple of friends who I don't think either one of them are here today. Some of you will know that my wife and I, we sold our house 16 months ago, had been apartment dwellers, and now we just purchased a townhouse in Lake St. Louis area. And as a result of moving, we've just over the years condensed, and we just had some things left over that we wanted to give to someone. And so we kind of put the feelers out, and actually it was through Derek. I think I saw Derek earlier. We were able to take some things yesterday to a couple of people in North City. And I didn't know where I was going. I had an address, and so I GPS'd it. And it took, anybody ever heard of a town or an area called Baden? Yes. Yeah. Oh, look at all y'all. Here's some Badenites here. It's one of the people groups in Numbers. It talks about the Badenites. And I'm not from Baden, but my wife's family, their roots, the whole side of her father's side of the family was in Baden. And I'm like, I know Baden. I don't know Baden, but I know of Baden. And so one of the guys that I was driving with, he is very familiar. And we drove through Anybody ever been through the Riverview Circle? I mean, it was nostalgia yesterday, driving through, but it looks different 40 years later than what I remember that area looking like. And so we're just kind of looking at it. This is, it looked like a place that has had difficulties, a lot of difficulties in that area. And so we drove up to the street, came to the house, and there was two tiny little houses. I mean, tiny little houses. And one of them was where we were going to drop off a dryer, a microwave, and a roll-top desk. And so we got out, and there was a very kind man and his son helping us. And then a lady came out of the house. There was two pit bulls in the front yard. Always a great welcome party. Two pit bulls in the front yard. And I'm like, I'm glad I didn't bring my cat. It could be. And so this lady came out, and I just walked over and I greeted her. Just say her name was Lucy, because we have one here. And I just greeted Lucy, and she just looked at me. And I just, on her face, I just saw what looked to me, trying not to be judgy, a really difficult life. Probably 50 years old, a really challenged life. Like life had not been fair to her. Life had not been kind to her. And so I greeted her. I said, hi, my name's Tom. And she said, Lucy, something like that. And she smiled, and her teeth were just kind of, like she'd done a lot of drugs, certain type of drug, and her teeth were just eaten away. And she didn't really smile, just really somber, really serious. And my heart just instantly went out to this lady. And I just thought, I don't know what you've been through, ma'am. I have no clue what you've been through. But it hasn't been easy for you. So we were able to give her the items and head back on our way. And I just was thinking about it all yesterday afternoon, last night, even in the middle of the night and this morning. And I just thought about so often the decisions I make have an amazing effect on my life. The decisions my wife and I make affect our children and our grandchildren and the people all around us. And as I was looking at this poor lady, I thought, again, my wife came from an amazing family. Healthy, normal, kind. They weren't necessarily believers at that point. But she didn't have any say-so in her parenting, where she was born, where she grew up. She had no decision about that. It just happened to her. And she was blessed enough to be raised in health and normal and blessing. And my life was equally blessed. There is one person here who knew me before I was a Christian who's with us this morning. And I'm asking her not to tell any stories about me, of what I was like before I knew Jesus. But again, I talked to my wife last night, and I was just thinking about my upbringing and just choices. My mom abandoned the family when I was 4. My dad made a choice to his absolute pain to lose everything he had in order to raise my sister and I. To his absolute pain. And I don't know that he ever fully recovered from that choice of having to leave his career in order to raise us. But that was my dad's choice. And I just look at my life and I think, Lord, as I look at my life, I want to have a crop of blessing left behind me. I want to have life after me. And so often, no matter how Randy started, or I started, or this lady in North City started, things happen in life. But we do have the opportunity to make great decisions. No matter what happened to us, the opportunity to make great decisions. If we could, I just want to look quickly at a passage of scripture out of Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to begin earlier than what you see up there. So I'm just going to read the first part, and then we're going to pick it up in verse 11 there. Luke 8, and this is Jesus speaking. It's one of his parables. Luke 8:4. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed, and he was scattering the seed. Some fell upon along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because there was no moisture. Remember the crop thing that Heather talked about this morning. Other seed fell upon thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plant. Still other seed fell on good soil, and it came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than what was sown. And when he had said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." And his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others, I speak in parables so that though seeing, they may not see, and though hearing, they may not understand." We pick it up in verse 11 here. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy. And when they hear it, they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, what Guy was talking about earlier. Life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. You can just put distractions there. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart. Let me read that again. But the seed on good soil, that's what's happening in here, stands for those with a noble and a good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. And I want to highlight that word, persevering. Because in my 45 years of being a follower of Jesus, to me it seems like that's the difference between people who struggle mightily, and maybe fall away from being a follower of Jesus, and those who push through every kind of obstacle. Not because they're smarter, not because they know their Bible better, not because they're married to someone like Randy. Blessing. Oh yeah, I'm not supposed to talk about you. That's right. Not because better things happen to them, better opportunities come to them. From my simple observation, the secret sauce, one of the ingredients that make it work, is the simple fact of persevering. Not better, not stronger, not tougher, not more resilient. Just somebody who doesn't quit. Persevering produces a good harvest. Persevering produces an abundant harvest. Persevering produces a crop that remains. I looked up a definition of persevere. Actually, my wife did. It said, an estate or undertaking, in spite of counter influences, difficulties, opposition, or discouragement. It's the power of making a decision. And no matter what comes at you, I am not breaking. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to take a different path. I'm simply going to keep doing the little things that I know to do. I'm going to do them right. I'm going to do them well. And I'm not going to give up until I see Jesus eye to eye and face to face. A 10-year-old can do that. 110-year-old can do that. It's the simple ability to keep doing the little things right. The storm's coming. The crop caught fire. Everything's horrible. I'm going to keep doing what I know to do in order to produce an abundant crop. It didn't work last year. I don't care what happened last year. I'm going to keep doing what I know to be right and healthy and kingdom and the Jesus way. I'm going to keep doing the little things right. And part of making that decision, making great decisions for 2023 and the years beyond, mentally and in my heart, what are my choices going to be? What are my decisions going to be? Am I going to be in faith for my children? Whatever they're doing right now. I won't say it's irrelevant because it's very relevant. But what am I going to choose to believe about my children? Whether they're walking with Jesus, whether they're sitting next to me in church, or am I going to simply say it doesn't work and start saying the opposite of what God says? What am I going to say? The choice I'm going to make in my mind and my heart about my kids. What am I going to say in spite of what's happening in my body and my health? What choice am I going to make about my health? What's going to come out of my mouth that has been captivating my thoughts about my health? I may die. I may get worse. What's going to happen to my family if I go? What choices am I going to make? Decisions I'm going to make? What's coming out of my mouth about my health? About my finances? About my future? About my job? About my marriage? Am I going to believe that in spite of what the resistance, the obstacles, do I believe my marriage is going to get better? That's for those married folks here, that's a very much a reality. And for some of the folks who've been married for a longer time, it's so easy in marriage to think, well, this is what it is, and that's all it's ever going to be. I'm settling right here. I'm not going to divorce because I don't want to do that. But never mind. I'm going to stop putting into this marriage what it's going to take to see it actually change on my part. I'm just going to stop because I'm sick of it, and I'm tired, and I can't do it anymore. It's a choice. That's a decision I can make. A very real one. Or I can go Jesus route and think, speak, and act like it's going to change for the positive. It's going to change. But it's getting worse. I understand that. I feel that. I'm in the marriage. I'm not talking about her and I. I don't care what's happening. Of course I care. But I'm going to think, I'm going to speak, and I'm going to act like my marriage is going to thrive. My finances are going to thrive. My children are going to thrive. So many families, and you know who you are, many in this room, just struggling with their kids, whether it was from social action in the United States or COVID or political junk, this separation between parents and kids. Persevere and push through. I'm going to love those kids. I don't care where they're at. I don't care what they're saying. I don't care what they're doing. I'm choosing life for my kids. So 2023, what's it going to look like? A series of great choices. A series of great decisions. I'm not giving up on what God says about my family. I'm going to believe in blessing. I'm going to think it. I'm going to speak it and act it. Especially if I'm the parent of I'm a believing parent of children that are struggling in life. I need to be the stable one. I need to be the loving one. I need to be the rock with Jesus' help, not combative with them. I'm not saying acquiesce, but I'm going to hold the line. This is how you love. This is how you speak life, think life, act life. It's Hebrews 10, 35 through 39. It's an amazing passage leading up to it. But at the conclusion of Hebrews 10, the Bible says this. So, do not throw away your confidence. So, do not throw away your confidence. It sounds like there's a choice there. It sounds like I could. It's possible. It's an option. And the writer of Hebrews, we're going to say it's Paul. You can have your own choice. So, do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised, a good crop, a good fruit. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Perseverance. I'm going to conclude in just a second. Perseverance. What does it look like? What does it sound like? What does it smell like? It's tenacity. Perseverance. It's tenacity. Being tenacious. I'm not letting go. It's grit. As our British friends say, grit. Tenacity, it's grit, it's fortitude, endurance, prevail. And here's my favorite word of the morning. You can use it if you want. Pluck. Someone who just has
pluck.
What is that? It has nothing to do with chickens, not this morning. This is the strength of mind that enables a person to endure pain and hardship. Pluck. It's the strength of mind that enables a person to endure pain or hardship. Okay, great. How do I do that? The great, but how? Great, but how do I do that? You don't know my wife. You don't know my, we probably do. You don't know my husband. You don't know how difficult I have it. We probably don't. You don't know my kids. You don't know my sister. You haven't read the doctor's reports. You weren't there when the doctor said this about me. You're right. But we both know the same Jesus who heard and saw it all. And the Bible, the same word of God applies to me and to you. There's no asterisk that say, well, everyone else gets blessing, but you get that. Great, but how? How do I do that? I'm not going to read it just for time's sake. But the great but how is this. Learn, develop, grab hold of the ability to encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself in the Lord. I've talked to so many Christians over the years, and it's sad but true in many cases. No one ever calls me. No one ever encourages me. No one ever visits me. I believe that happens way too often. And it's not okay. But it can be a simple reality. But in 1 Samuel 30, it was a wonderful man named David. He ended up being king. And he was with his band of mighty men, and they were out fighting, and their home base got plundered. And wives got taken, all their belongings got taken. And so these mighty men who were going to become mighty men decided, you know what, David, it's your fault, and we're going to kill you. And so all the men, his soldiers around him, decided it's David's fault, and they're going to stone him. And David was deeply discouraged. One, because his two wives have been carried off, all his belongings have been carried off. And there's just this simple line in 1 Samuel, you can look it up on your time, 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. I'm sorry, verse 6. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And it's a New American Standard. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself. Pastor Tom did not stop by. Faithful Lauren Smith did not stop by and encourage them. Didn't drop by a honey baked ham or an apple pie. Kind of hungry. Just dreaming. If I want to be tenacious, if I want to be able to make great decisions in the midst of trouble, and we all have trouble, all of us, if I'm going to be someone who perseveres and doesn't quit on the inside and leave just areas of my life void and empty, a vacuum of life, because I simply can't take the pain anymore, so I'm just going to leave that, a dusty, dirty, cobweb-filled room in my life, figuratively speaking, I'm just going to leave it. I'm not going to have any hope for that anymore. That's never going to happen for me because I gave up hope on that. Instead of that, you and I persevering through, say, I know it's ugly. It's not what I want. But with tenacity, with pluck, I'm not giving up on the Word of God. I'm not giving up on the promises of God. And I'm going to persevere until I see victory in that area. And to me, that's the difference so often. You people who receive and have an abundant crop, even though the field has been burnt, as it were, that burning the field of my past is actually going to be the very nutrients that provide blessing and going forward for that crop to produce an abundance. Yes, the field was burned, but I'm going to believe for abundance and going forward. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up on my health. I'm not giving up on finances, and I'm not giving up on kids. I'm not going to give up on the dream for life in my marriage, life in my, I'm not giving, Father, what you say, I'm going to say. What you say, I'm going to think. And what you say, I'm going to act. I'm not quitting. Father, I've got pluck in Jesus' name. Father, for 2023, in this family, may dreams be restored. May lives be restored. May hope be restored. Father, I simply choose to believe you and what you say over all the experiences that are very real and that have happened. Father, my crops may have been burned, but I'm going to believe that's the heaven's nutrients and necessary with the water of heaven coming to produce a bumper crop in the future. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving up because Jesus, you're my rock. And I'm going to keep thinking, speaking, and doing what you tell me. I'm not quitting. I'm not going to be like an Elijah where, Elijah, what are you doing here? I'm discouraged. I quit. I give up. And he says, no, come here and hear what I have to say. Come close and listen to me, and I'll tell you the truth. It's not over. You still got breath in your body. Bless us as a family, Father. In a year of abundance, a year of blessing. Thank you for your promise and the treasure of your very presence. Bless us, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Have an awesome day.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.